This is it. This is the Business Greenhouse podcast. If you're a business owner looking to grow a company that thrives, then you're in the right place. I'm Emmy Faust, and you can get more details about this episode and full show notes at my website, emmyfaust.com. So today on the Business Greenhouse, I have got Kelly Teasdale, who is a marketing and business guru. And I know that myself because I have worked with her on quite a few projects now, and she's also helped me personally. I always think that it's great to get outside perspective when you're struggling in your business. And Kelly has created some amazing changes in my business, actually. So I really wanted to get her on the podcast so we could talk about a topic that's very close to my heart, which is why so many small to medium-sized business owners are wasting time and money on marketing that doesn't work, and what can we do about it? So Kelly, can you give us your thoughts on that?
I will, yeah, and morning. Thanks for inviting me along.
That's okay, lovely to have you here.
It's quite exciting, and it's a lovely day for it as well. I'm sitting here looking out of my office window and the sun's shining. And
yeah. I know, it's a November day and the sun's shining, that's got to be good news.
It's all good. So yeah, so small businesses, and where are they going wrong? And why are they wasting so much time and money? Do you know what? There's so many reasons. But I think the very, very top one is when I start working with business owners and I say to them, okay, talk to me about your marketing. Like, tell me what you're doing, what you've tried, what you haven't tried. They almost always come back to me with tactical responses. So they'll say, I've got a Facebook account, or I'm building a new website, or I'm just in the process of trying to make YouTube work, or I'm on Instagram, whatever it might be. So they very almost always talk to me in tactics. So they never ever say to me, okay, so, you know, I am positioning my business like this in the marketplace. This is how I'm different from the competition. This is what I'm trying to say. This is my customer avatar, like my key customer that I'm trying to talk to. They almost never say that. And I think part of the reason for this is that if you look at the marketing and business growth marketplace and environment right now, there are tons of, you know, experts, and you can't see me, but I'm putting quote marks around that when I say experts, out in the marketplace selling their business growth from their point of expertise. And maybe it's like, you know, I can teach you how to get tons of traffic on Instagram, or I can teach you how to do SEO, or I can teach you how to do Google Ads. And just the whole marketplace is awash with all of these promises, with people that are coming from the position in which they've developed a specific skill set. And it's almost like outside in rather than inside out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so basically people who've got a particular skill set or service to sell are out there selling their service and telling people that, you know, that will grow their business. But actually what you're saying is you need to do a bit of work before that to actually think about, you know, who are you trying to target, and how are you different from your competitors and all those things.
Yeah, so when you think about success in marketing and business growth, it's actually a fairly simple dynamic. You just need to figure out who you are, what your business is doing, what it has to offer to the marketplace, one. Two, who your ideal customer is. So who's the person that's going to buy from you, want to buy from you, that, you know, really going to resonate with your product and service. And three, what else is going on in the marketplace? So what's going on around you? And effective marketing is about strategically navigating that dynamic, rather than just, oh, I need to be on Facebook. Oh, I need to be on Instagram. Like the real energy in marketing and business growth comes from making really smart decisions about how you show up, what you say, and who you're talking to, not just what I would call promotion. And there is a huge difference between promotion and strategic marketing. So promotion is basically, I think I said this to you last time we met, Emmy, it's like, you know, when you go and you're driving and there's those like people that stand on the side of the road with like billboards selling pizza, and yeah, they're like, two for one this way. That is bog standard promotion. It's kind of low energy marketing. But what you really want to be doing from a small business point of view is being much smarter around, okay, not just two for one, low price this way, but what's the message that I have to share? What's the added value of this product? How do I show up in a way that's really going to engage and build a relationship with someone that's ultimately going to part with their money for me?
Yeah, because people aren't just going to part with their money straight away, are they? So you need to think about building that relationship.
And the other thing is now more than ever before, it's a massively crowded marketplace, right? Business, digital businesses, online businesses, all types of business. It's so noisy out there. It's very, very rare for there to be a unique, truly unique business. I mean, we all like to think our businesses are unique. And of course, there are ways that we are different and we can differentiate how we're positioning them and showing up. But the reality is we're all out there shouting from a small platform, and it's hard to get cut through. And you definitely won't get cut through if you're just operating on a tactical, I'm just going to show up on channels and do the 2-for-1 thing and hope that people buy.
So, you know, how would you, I wonder if the problem is though that these, that small to medium sized business owners don't know how to work out who their ideal customer is and how to, you know, work out how to make them, you know, work out what's unique about them and all those kind of things. Do you think that's why they're going after the tactical stuff? Is there any help that you could share with us as to how to do that process?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think there aren't many people who are out in the marketplace explaining how you properly, you know, do this from a strategic point of view. So, and that's the key thing, right? Make sure your business has a marketing strategy. So how do you get there? It doesn't have to be as complicated as people think. So, and Emmy, you know this because we've worked a lot together. So I have a very kind of basic approach that I use, which is point number one, like, what is this business? So I do a whole vision, mission and values, and I just really anchor myself in the business I'm working with around what are we trying to do here? What is our vision? Who do we want to be? Like, what's our ideal for the business? One, step one. Step two is that we then start thinking around who is the ideal customer for that business. So customer avatar, customer profiling, there's lots of different names for this work. But essentially what you're doing is you're getting down on a piece of paper the person that you feel your product or service is for. And you're really trying to understand them and how they think, where they're showing up, what problems they might be having in their life, what is it they're looking for, the types of products and services that they already buy. That's kind of step two. Step three, and again, this goes back to that dynamic I was talking about earlier, which is who are you, who's your customer, what else is going on in the world around you. Step three is a real kind of basic SWOT analysis. So, you know, given who you want to be, given what you know about your ideal customer, what else do you know about the marketplace and can bring into a very basic analysis of the strengths of your business, the weaknesses, the opportunities and the threats, and just kind of get it all down. And it's kind of, you know, not having that rose-tinted perspective on your business and really looking at the reality of where you're at. But what a SWOT analysis will enable you to do is it will enable you to identify the key challenges to marketing and growing a business, but it will also enable you to identify the big opportunities and the big kind of spaces, white space for you to jump in and be different and talk differently to your target customer. So I do a SWOT analysis. Once you've done your SWOT analysis, the next thing you want to do, because it can kind of feel a little bit overwhelming at that stage if you try and build a marketing plan directly from a SWOT, is to say, okay, I'm going to look at the next 12 months. And based on the information that I have here, what do I think are the top 3 or 4 critical success factors for growth? So what are the things that I have absolutely got to get right to grow this business? And I circle those in the SWOT. And those critical success factors will always, like I said, either give you a problem that needs to be solved, or they will give you an opportunity to leverage. And so I take those critical success factors and I literally just ask the question of that problem or that opportunity. So like, what do I need to do or what can I do from a very strategic marketing point of view that will help me to solve this problem or leverage this opportunity? And the answer to that question is effectively your marketing strategies. It will give you a direction of travel, an objective for your marketing, something that needs to be done to help you get from where you are now to where you want to be. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm wondering, could you give some examples of what those marketing strategies might be for a business? So,
they'll always be different. But I mean, one of the ones that you brought up earlier, and it's right, they almost, in a great marketing plan, the one strategy will always be around differentiation. So when you do your SWOT analysis, it will always give you a comparison between where you're at, what your strengths are, and what the other businesses around you are doing. And so one of the strategies is always how do I differentiate this business to my target audience? How do I get that cut through in the marketplace?
Because as you said, it's such a crowded marketplace. There's so many people shouting for everyone's attention, and there's so many similar offerings, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, how else is your ideal customer going to know whether you're right for them versus the competitor?
Perfect. And just a note on the SWOT, I have to say, I think that's one of the most important things you can do. And I was amazed because I have to admit that I hadn't actually done it for myself until recently. And before the summer, I did it for myself. And that's when I came to talk to you, Kelly, because I realized that my strengths and my weaknesses and the opportunities in the market meant that I was actually kind of selling myself as totally the wrong thing. And it was just eye-opening, actually, to put it all down on a piece of paper, which even though we know what our strengths and weaknesses are, I think when you put them all down on a piece of paper and actually look at them, it's very clear what you need to focus on.
Yeah, and I think what the key thing that a lot of small businesses are missing is that they don't realize that in that very simple process, in that realities of where you're at, lies the gold for your marketing. They don't make the link between the operational stuff and how they market their business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The minute you make that connection is the minute you start winning, because you start making smarter decisions about the content that you create. You start making smarter decisions about how you show up on these channels, and you start showing up in a way that is more meaningful and is genuinely going to drive growth, rather than just, hey, I'm on Facebook and I've got this to sell.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so once you've done that process of the SWOT analysis and identifying the three or four key factors that you need to concentrate on to, you know, for your marketing, is what would the next step be? Is that where you look at the tactical things associated?
Exactly. So once you've got your kind of the answers to your questions, which are your broad-based marketing strategies, like I know that I need to differentiate myself in this business, or I know that I need to go after a new target, or whatever it might be, what I then do is I literally just take a blank piece of paper and I write those strategies along the top. And then sit with a friend or a colleague or your team or whoever you've got and literally just brainstorm. Okay, now we know this is the general direction of travel for us and the priorities for business growth. What are the marketing tactics that we know about that help us achieve that strategy? So at this point, absolutely cool for you to start talking about Facebook groups and Instagram and all the different marketing tactics that are out there, as long as they meet a specific marketing strategy. Then it makes sense. In the context of a strategy, those tactics make sense. But when they don't make sense is when you're just throwing a list of tactics at me and telling me you have a marketing plan, because you don't.
No, and actually, you know, if your ideal customer is not on that channel, then that wouldn't pull through into your tactics, would there? So I often see people using totally the wrong social media channels or marketing channels for their audience.
Yeah.
100%. And that's because they haven't done this process.
Yeah, 100%. And that kind of also goes back to, you know, most Facebook ad experts, most Instagram experts, most SEO people, Google AdWords, whatever it is, will always tell every business that their channel is right for them.
Yeah.
And to a greater or lesser extent, that's true. But if you're really interested in accelerating growth, you've got to be super focused on the things that matter right now. And to your point, you've got to be where your target audience is. And so it's not a case of being on every channel at all. You're almost better off being on less and doing it well.
Better. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And I think that's where it really does make sense to get some outside perspective, doesn't it? So that you aren't just, I mean, there's so many, I remember meeting a client, a Pilates studio, and they were spending so much money on organic Instagram. That was all they were doing for their marketing, and they were getting absolutely nothing, like zero results. And I said, have you actually thought about who your ideal customer is, where they live, all those kind of things? If you'd actually taken some of that budget and actually looked at who you were trying to talk to and target, they would have put it in a totally different place.
Yeah.
But I think everyone was just like, oh, Instagram, so cool. And, you know, you can put such great images up there of your Pilates studio and everything. But actually, you know, there was a lot of money being wasted, which is really sad for small businesses, I think, because money's tight.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you're absolutely right, going back to your earlier point about wasting time and wasting money. The best way to waste time and money in marketing is to not have a strategy and operate at a tactical level. That's the biggest mistake by far that I see small businesses making.
Yeah. And so once you've done the tactics, I mean, again, you know, how would a small business owner know which tactics to use?
Do you know what? It's really intuitive. Even business owners that, okay, so a lot of businesses, I obviously guide them through the process, but even people that I've taught this process to and have gone off and done it on their own, the critical success factors and the question that you ask of that, what you end up with makes it really easy to choose the right marketing tactics. So for example, if your strategy is around building a community around your brand and business, that's something that's important. It's pretty natural that you're going to start thinking about Facebook groups.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, a supersonic expert marketeer to make those decisions, because the strategy is almost like lead you to the water, if that makes sense. It's so apparent by the time you've done a marketing strategy that the tactics become really easy choices.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I know we're both very keen on is, which again is something that which I think is another reason that people are wasting money, is just measuring what you're doing. And what would be your words of advice on that?
Don't do anything. Literally, do not do anything or start anything from a marketing point of view until you are clear in your own head how you're going to measure it. You know, every single marketing tactic on planet Earth, there is a way to measure the success of that. You know, whether that's PR coverage, whether that's websites and like traffic, click-through rates, bounce rates, there is a metric for everything that you do. And the thing is that with marketing, again, I see a lot of small businesses making this mistake. They'll have a go at something, they'll show up on a channel, they'll put out a piece of content, and then they say to me, it's not working, but they don't know why. Does that make sense? And
yeah.
So the whole thing with marketing is like, okay, so you've got your marketing plan, you've got your list of tactics, you prioritize your tactics, and then you say, right, we're going to start with this and this. And the way that we're going to measure the success of this is, you know, X, Y, Z. Now, that won't always be just hard sales. Of course, sales is an outcome of effective marketing. But what you're really looking for is the incremental stuff. It's like how many people are staying on that website page for longer than 10 seconds, and does that improve? And then can you test stuff over a period of time and continue to improve that, and then see how those metrics change? That is how you win in marketing. You have to be in it for the long game. You have to be clear on how you're going to measure the success up front. Then you've got to measure it at regular intervals and make tweaks that then improve your overall performance. So this is why, like, there's no such thing as an overnight success. I mean, you can bring a great product to market that has the right key messages, the right positioning, and of course, do really, really well with it. But especially now in a digital environment, long-term success, accelerated success, is really about, okay, we're up and running. How do we optimize? How do we constantly measure? What are the metrics? Are they going up? Are they going down? What have we done that's different this month that has impacted those? And how does that then therefore impact what we do in the weeks to come? Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, well, I suppose that's kind of my background, because I used to run a media agency for 10 years. So all the you know, all of our clients' campaigns, we were constantly optimizing them, tweaking them. If something wasn't working, we changed the copy or the ad, or, you know, so and nothing's ever given for certain, is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just say, well, that works, and you just leave it, because if that works, we're seeing if you can make it work better by changing, you know, by tweaking something. And if something doesn't work, you're investigating why. And I think that is why measuring is so important. How often would you say to clients they should be kind of reporting on their marketing activity?
So all of my clients, we have like a metric grid. And so we literally say, right, for these channels and these tactics, these are our metrics, and we will go back to that every single month. So I want to know, you know, what the Facebook ad spend has been, what the click-throughs have been, how many sales, like whatever. I want to look at that on a grid every single month and then make calls on how we're going to operate for the months to come.
Yeah. So at least monthly, basically.
Yeah, because like otherwise you're kind of, it's all hypothetical. I mean, of course, like I've been doing this a long time now. So we were talking earlier about, you know, you do just get a real gut feel for things. But the truth of the matter is the facts are the facts.
Yeah, I know. And actually, I'm just thinking about this course I'm doing with Mark Ritson. I'm sure he said you must never listen to your gut feel. Even if you think it's right, you still got to go by the facts, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think your gut feel is a good place to start, is my take.
Exactly, yeah.
But then you need the backup, you need the proof.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, I think that's really fantastic. It's basically don't spend any money on anything if, A, you don't have a strategy in place, because you're going to waste your money and your time, and B, if you're not measuring it.
Yeah, 100%.
We were talking earlier about businesses wasting time and money on activities that don't work. And obviously, I think, you know, one of the main ones that we've just covered off is this issue around strategy and tactics and not measuring things. But you also mentioned something which was quite interesting, which was you mentioned to me about people buying into a lifestyle.
Yeah, so I think there's very much a movement in the business growth industry right now around, like, you know, I'm a laptop millionaire or laptop whatever lifestyle or whatever it's called, and, you know, I've done this and I can help you do it too. And, you know, if you give me 20 grand, you could be living my lifestyle and all you have to do is do exactly what I've done. And, you know, it's just not true. I mean, like, the reality is a lot of those people, the way that they've made the most or the majority of their money is by teaching other people how to do what the life that they think that they're saying they have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know. I mean I'm kind of quite aware of quite a few of those who, yeah.
There's tons of them out in the marketplace right now, and for me, well, like we were saying earlier, I mean, like, it's actually quite sad.
It is sad because it's feel like they're preying on vulnerable people that really want to run their own business and want to have a success, and maybe they don't have the, you know, they don't understand how to do the things that we've been talking about, like the marketing strategy and all those kind of things. And they believe that they can just follow what someone's kind of, I don't know, someone's kind of program or whatever it is, and it's all going to work. And I think you and I have both seen lots of businesses that have been hit by that.
Mm. And what's weird is that all of these topics that we're talking around connect really well. So you know, we've just now, like, been talking for 15-20 minutes around, like, the need to differentiate yourself and get cut through in the marketplace, and that is a key to business success. So if that is the case and we know that to be true, how can what I call the copy this movement, which is very much a, I've done this, I've held an event and you know, made, you know, I don't know, 500,000. You can too. Here's my USB stick. Go and do it.
You're so funny.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, how can that be true? Because we've just said, we know you have to be different. Your marketing plan has to be tailored to your business. Like, it's almost irrelevant what anyone else is doing for their business, because it's about where you're at and strategically how you get to where you need to be. So one, that doesn't make sense. And two, the other thing we've just been talking about is, you know, this need to optimize over time and look at the metrics and recognize that growth is incremental. Well, if that is true, and we know that is true, how can there also be magic button lifestyle solutions that are going to, you know, make your business a success overnight? So the reality of marketing and business growth and some of the stuff that's going on in the marketplace right now, it doesn't add up in any way, shape or form. But I totally get that if you're new to running a business or you don't have experience in marketing and business growth, I get why people would buy into these concepts and these ideas and these lifestyles. But, you know, I guess that's what we're trying to do here is just say, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, keep it, you know, focus on you and the reality of your business. Be strategic about how you show up. Be in it for the medium to long term and you will get there. You don't need to buy into a lifestyle. And do you know what the reality is? There are very, very few people who sit on a beach and run a multi-million dollar business. I mean, like, is it possible? Of course. But, like, you know, let's just get real for a moment.
Yeah, exactly. There is no magic button, silver button. Is that, I don't know which one you say.
I call it magic button solution.
Yeah, there is. Is it silver bullet or magic button? But anyway,
yeah.
I think I absolutely love talking to you because you are no nonsense. You've obviously got, I mean, how many years have you been doing this for?
Nine, coming on for 19 years I've been in marketing.
Yeah, and you've worked on some amazing campaigns. And I have to say, I think that is, you know, probably some of the best advice I've ever heard. And so hopefully people listening to this podcast are going to take that away. And I know you and I both feel really passionate about this. Is I hate to meet people that are wasting hard-earned money when they're trying to set up their business on things that just aren't going to work, and also wasting time and, you know, and people, and I'm sure you get it as well, that it's kind of really stressful for people who, when they know that they're wasting time and money but they don't know why or how to sort it out.
Yeah.
And hopefully this podcast will have opened their eyes. So thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on the Business Greenhouse. It's been amazing chatting to you.
You're very welcome. It's good chatting to you too. I love chatting to you because we love bouncing around all these ideas of what's going on in business.
I know. We should do a podcast together.
Let's do it. I'm dying for it.
Okay, wicked. We can't call it the Business Greenhouse though because Kelly doesn't like the name.
Hey, I still showed up to talk to you, so what does it matter?
I know, and I really love you for that. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on, and it was great to have you.
You're welcome. Talk soon.
I approached Emmy to join the Wonder Women Advisory Board because of the wealth of marketing experience that she has, having worked for some of the world's most successful brands, but also because she's a business owner herself, and I knew that she could bring real value to the project to help me with those initial challenges in getting it off the ground.
Thank you so much for listening to the Business Greenhouse podcast. You can get all the show notes from my website, which is emmyfaust.com. Do please leave me a review on iTunes if you enjoyed it. And I always love to hear from you. So you can tweet me at emmyfaust and let me know your thoughts on this episode or anything you'd particularly like to hear about in future episodes. Looking forward to catching up again next week.